Let's open the Bible tonight and turn to 1 John chapter 2. The first epistle of John, chapter 2. We will begin reading at 1 John 2, verse 18, and read through chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the inspired, infallible scripture. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts this evening. The text for the sermon is 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hope. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the passage before us reveals hope. It sets before us the object of our hope, and then it strengthens within us the activity of hope. And that's why the very next verse, verse 3, goes on to say, "And every man that hath this hope in him." Hope. Can you imagine what it would be like to be an unbeliever and have no hope? No hope. It must be like being trapped way deep down in the earth in some cave, surrounded by darkness, no light, no way of escape, utterly hopeless, but we have hope. And tonight, in this old year's service, and with a view also to tomorrow morning in light of the fact that you will not be having a service, I want to preach this text that sets before us our hope. And as we look back at the year 2020, many of the events that occurred in the world around us confirm to us that the end is drawing near. And what a year it has been, especially when we look at some of the bigger events, like some of the social movements with Black Lives Matter and defund the police and the growing support for the LGBTQ movement in the sexual revolution. And then if we consider all of the things involved in the recent presidential election and even the fear expressed by many that perhaps we're heading one day to socialism in the United States of America, but especially in the year 2020, the outbreak and the global spread of COVID-19 and everything involved with that and all the different responses to it, and especially the response of the state as the government did something we had never seen before and really couldn't even imagine, shutting down an economy and issuing stay-at-home orders. Who is a God like unto our God, who sends one little microscopic virus and says, go, and that virus flies through the whole world and everywhere it goes. The way that the world operates changes, and we saw that in the year 2020. And all of these things are being worked by God, we know out of the scriptures, to bring about the final anti-Christian kingdom. We began our reading with verse 18 of chapter 2 saying there are many antichrists, but then there will be that one antichrist in his kingdom. And at that time, great tribulation for the church. And then the end of all things, we need hope. We need encouragement. We need to be reminded that up ahead there's light. Not only is there darkness all around, there's darkness for everyone, but the ungodly move through darkness unto darkness, but we move through darkness unto light. What is that great light that we are moving unto? What is that great hope that the scripture holds out before us? And that's what we want to consider tonight, the staggering hope that we have. Inconceivable. Whoever could have imagined this? This, right out in front of us, this is our hope. We shall see God. And we shall be like God. To see Him is to be like Him. That's the hope of the passage and the hope with which we close the year 2020. So let's consider 1 John 3, verse 2, under the theme, seeing God as He is. First, an astounding sight. Second, a wonderful transformation. And third, a sure confidence. What an astounding sight. The text concludes with the words, for we shall see Him as He is. First of all, this is an astounding sight because we will see God. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now the text, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He, God, shall appear, we shall be like Him, God, for we shall see Him, God, as He, God, is. We shall see God. Now, you've never seen anything that can even begin to compare to the sight of God. Doesn't matter what national parks you've been to and stunning vistas and mountains and waterfalls and lakes and forests you've seen or what dazzling sunsets you've seen when the sky is ablaze with brilliant hues of color, or maybe even a little baby, your own little child that's so perfect and adorable to you. No matter what we've ever seen in the heavens above or in the earth beneath or in the waters underneath the earth, we've never seen anything that can even begin to compare to the sight of God. We shall see God. Astounding. Secondly, this is an astounding sight because we will see God who is invisible. He's not composed of matter, material. He doesn't have a body. We can't see the invisible God. John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. God tells us over and over the Bible, I am God. You cannot see me. No man has ever seen me. And yet the text promises us, and this comes from the God who cannot lie, we shall see God. And we believe it and say with as much excitement as Job, though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. The invisible God. Third, this is an astounding sight because we will see the God who is holy, infinitely holy. 1 Timothy 6, 16, one more time. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. So if you look up at the noonday sun, you won't be able to stare at the sun. It would burn a hole right into your eyeball to get close to and stare at the sun. But God is infinitely holy. He's infinitely brighter than the sun. How can a sinner look at God and be taken near unto God without being consumed? But we believe Him, that we will see Him and delight in Him as the infinitely holy God. And fourth, this is an astounding sight because, as the text explicitly states, we will see Him as He is, as He really is. We don't always see things as they really are. I remember from my days living in Redlands, California, how aggravating it is to have your view obstructed. For to the north is a beautiful wall of majestic mountains. And during the summertime, there can be this smoggy haze that moves in and kind of settles in the valley, and you can no longer see the mountains, or very faintly you might be able to make out the outline of the mountains, but there they are in all of their majesty and beauty and glory, but you cannot see them as they really are. We shall see God as He really is. We will not see Him for all that He is. He is God. We are men. Forever and ever into all eternity, even when we're glorified, He is still God. We are still men. He is infinite. We are finite. He is the Creator. We are creatures. We will never be able to plumb the depths of the infinite riches of His wisdom. We will never be able to scale the heights of His mercy, which is higher than the heavens are higher than the earth. We will never be able fully to search out the whole of His inner triune life as God. And we can take a certain comfort in that. I do. I'm a very, very small man, a little speck of dust, and so are you. We're very, 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 very small. And if we could fully comprehend and search out our God, then our God must be a very, very, very small God. But He's not. God is God. He is infinitely glorious. We will never be able to see God for all that He is. but with our limited human capacity and according to His revealing of Himself to us, we will see Him as He really is. His being will not be clouded, and that wretched obstruction of the veil of our sinfulness will be taken away, and He will show Himself even more than He does now. And He will not be so lofty that He remains forever mysteriously beyond our knowing. He will show Himself to us as He really is even more than He shows to us now. Now we see Him, and we see Him more clearly than the saints of the old dispensation did, but there's still that haze because we're still earthly. We have not yet been transported into the heavenly, and because we still have this sinful flesh, we are not perfectly pure. Now we see Him through a glass darkly, but soon we shall see Him face to face as He really is. And what a day that will be when we see Him in all His resplendent glory as the Father, if now we exclaim, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed." What will it be like on the last day when we behold Him face to face as He really is, as our Father, our Heavenly Father of infinite love? We shall see our Father as He is. And we will see Him when we see Jesus. Whatever difficulty the text presents to us tonight with its astounding statement that we will see God as He is, those difficulties are all solved in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We will see Jesus, and when we see Jesus, we will see God as He is. That's the teaching of the text when it says, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," God shall appear. That's when we will see Him. When will God appear? Well, if we back up into chapter 2, verse 28, we read of Jesus, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." There's a day when Jesus will come, and that will be the day when Jesus shall appear. And when Jesus appears, that's when God Himself will appear in the person of His Son. And the explanation for this truth is that Jesus is God. Hebrews 1, verse 3, "He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person." Jesus is very God. To see me is not to see God. To see you is not to see God. To see Moses is not to see God. To see Jesus is to see God. Yes, it is astounding that we will see the invisible God. We will see Him in His visible, glorified Son. Yes, it is astounding that we sinners will see the Holy God. We will see Him with Christ, who is our mediator in righteousness and who takes us into the presence of God. It is astounding that we will see God as He really is. We shall, when we lay our eyes upon Jesus, seeing Him as He really is. And that's a marvelous hope that we have tonight. How could that not fill our hearts with so much delight that we will actually see Jesus? We will see Him. Now, I hope you don't have some misconception of Jesus and think of Him as some mystical, mythical, angelic figure sort of hovering around in some ethereal world. He's a man. Fully God, we just confessed this, and fully man. Yes, he is glorified man, but he has a real humanity. He has a body. He has a face. And he has eyes into which you can look. And we will see him. That's amazing. We will see Jesus. Isn't it the natural craving of every human heart to see the one that everyone is talking about? I think of some of the reports I've heard of some of these rallies, presidential rallies, even firsthand reports from people who have attended, for example, a Trump rally, and they will explain to you how the environment is electric. And there is so much adrenaline and so much anticipation, and the crowd of thousands of people is worked into a frenzy. And then he appears, and he walks down the stage, and he comes to the microphone, and every neck is craned, and every eye is straining to be able to behold the face of the President of the United States. And the whole place erupts. Mr. President, he's smaller than a speck of dust. You and I will see God. God in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We haven't seen him yet. The one who speaks to us every week in the gospel. The one in whose name we conclude all of our prayers. The one who loves us and we love him. We have not yet seen him. But one day we shall see him. Actually see him. And not see him as he was. We will see him as he really is. Not see him as he was, as some people saw him, a humble infant, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Not see him as a bleeding, sweating servant in a garden. Not see him despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, under the wrath of God on the cross. We shall see him as he really is, crowned in all of his glory and honor. We shall behold him in all of his matchless glory. That will be something. That will be some sight. All these sorrows and tribulations and these fears we have right now, they will all disappear. None of these things will matter anymore. The moment you see Jesus, and the moment you see him, you will exclaim, "The half hath not been told me. Far greater he is than I ever could have imagined. This is that great good than which there is nothing greater." The old theologians used to call it the beatific vision, the sight of God. What an astounding sight. We shall see God as he is. The result of this astounding sight is a wonderful transformation. We shall be like him. The text says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." In consideration of this wonderful transformation, we need to look at three things. Number one, now. Number two, what we shall be in a wonderful transformation. And then third, how that wonderful transformation relates to the astounding sight. First, now. What does the text say, beloved? Now are we the sons of God? We've been predestinated unto this sonship. Jesus came, he bought us with his blood, he obtained for us the right to be the sons of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. We're born out of the womb of sin and death, and we are born into a new life with a new principle of holiness put in our new heart. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. right now, tonight, we are the sons of God. But there's a heavenly glory that belongs to our sonship that has not yet been manifested. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. So here we are tonight. We all have a sinful flesh, according to which we sin, just like all the ungodly sin. We break commandments. We disobey authority. We have to say sorry. We sin. Just like all of the ungodly, here we are tonight. We have this frail, dust-framed body. We get sick. We suffer injury, disease. We contract viruses. Sometimes we end up in the hospital, maybe in a bed, right next to an ungodly man who's not the Son of God. We stand in line to pick up a prescription drug. We walk with a cane. We go, we die, we get packaged in a box just like the ungodly, and we get lowered into the earth. How are we any different? We suffer all the calamities that they do, the fires, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the nations warring against nation. Is there any difference between a son of God and the ungodly, wicked, reprobate? Well, now are we the sons of God? We are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. There's a heavenly glory that belongs to our sonship that has not yet been manifested now. But what a wonderful transformation. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like God. We shall not be equal to God. We shall not be of the same essence as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in a creaturely way, we will perfectly resemble God our Father. Now already, in principle, we begin to resemble our Father, but one day, perfectly, we will resemble God. When? We are conformed, body and soul, perfectly to the image of Christ. Our bodies will become heavenly bodies, far greater than Adam ever possessed. We will have this new, immortal, glorious, powerful body in which all these members of the body will no longer be instruments for sin. And then animating that new glorious resurrection body will be our purified souls so that we will be as pure as God is pure. Every imagination of the thought of our heart will only ever be pure continually. The love of our heart will be like the love of God. It will only be a pure love for God and for each other. It will be impossible for us to sin. There will not be one stray thought, one wicked inclination. All the movements of our inner spiritual life, you can hardly imagine this because we are so sinful right now, every movement within us will be absolutely pure. And that then governs what we do in the body, the new glorified body. The whole of our being will be perfectly devoted to God. We shall be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And thus, in a creaturely way, we will perfectly resemble God our Father. Now that glory is not yet manifested. Who among the ungodly in all the world has ever seen this glory among us? You think of Daniel in the Old Testament or Joseph before him, lifted up to a position of power and prestige. But the world has never seen any one of us, no matter how high we've been lifted up, they've never seen any one of us robed in a perfect, perfect robe of everlasting righteousness and crowned with heavenly glory. But when Christ appears, we will be glorified and all will see the glory that is ours as the sons of God. We shall be transformed. And that is such a gracious transformation. We are so undeserving. If you go back to the beginning, in our father and mother, Adam and Eve, when we were there in the garden and the tempter came and said, "And ye shall be like God," we wanted to be like God. Essentially, completely, we wanted to be at his level. We were so proud. We sinned and fell, and God would have done no injustice to take all of us and cast us forever as the image bearers of Satan into hell, but he didn't. He sent his only begotten Son to redeem us, to save us, and now one day to transform us so that we can be like God. Gracious transformation. And so wonderful is this transformation. The apostle captures the wonder of it in a striking way when he says, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." He doesn't say who we shall be, but he uses this sort of nondescript, indefinite expression, what we shall be. We shall be quite something. What? Well, what we shall be, quite something, heavenly. And how exactly do you put that into words? It's really beyond description. And so the apostle leaves it at that. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. What a transformation. Now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The sight will be transforming. That's the connection. To see him is to be made like him. Our sight of Jesus at his second coming will be transforming. Colossians 3 verse 4 also says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." The best way to understand this is to use the illustration God himself gives to us in the creation, and that's the reality of the moon. From the vantage point here of this earth, the moon, as it is all by itself, is rather drab and homely and dark and gray. Nothing spectacular, very ordinary in the whole of the heavens. But when that sun appears and it looks at the moon, when that sun casts all of its brilliant rays at the moon, and the moon then looks at the sun, the moon then becomes this brilliant, glorious, white pearl in the sky. For the moon to see the brilliance of the sun is for the moon to be transformed in brilliance, something like the sun. And the same thing will happen at the end of the world when the sun of righteousness appears with healing in his wings, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the last day, and raises us from the dead, then all of his elect people, more in number than the stars of the heavens, all of them will see him as he is. And as soon as we see him, the sight will be transforming so that at that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be glorified, wonderfully transformed by the sight of him, and how God will be glorified. It's so dark. The world is so dark, so sinful, so dark. Can you imagine how bright it will be on the last day when the light appears and he transforms all of his people who are more in number than the stars of the heavens, and they all, you and me now, you and me, as the sons of God, all the sons and daughters of God are transformed and made as brilliant and glorious as Christ himself. All that light, and it all will redound to the glory of our great God. What a wonderful transformation. we shall see him. And seeing him, we shall be like him. This is our hope. And of this hope, we are confident and we express it tonight in these words. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. We know by the wonder and the gift of faith, whereby we can see more than the visible, we can see the invisible, the miraculous, the wonderful. By the gift of faith, we say tonight, we know we will see him and be transformed. We know it. No matter how much the scoffers scoff, and we sang of that just a moment ago in Psalter number 114, they scoff, where is now thy God? Where is now thy God with every passing year? Where is now thy God? We know with the precious gift of faith. We know much we don't know. We don't know what will happen in the year 2021. Go back to December 31, 2019. You had no idea. I had no idea what would unfold in the year 2020. We never could have predicted all of the different things that happened this year in the world, in the church, in our homes, in our personal life, in our body. We don't know. We don't know what tonight holds, tomorrow holds, 2021. We don't know. And even though we know the signs of Christ coming, and we know, for example, that there will be the rise of an anti-Christian kingdom and there will be great tribulation, there's so many details that we don't know and how all things will work together. But there's something we do know. Christ shall appear very soon. And when he appears, God himself will appear. And when we see him, we will be transformed to be made like him. We know that. We are firmly persuaded of that tonight by faith. And our confidence is so sure because, and now we conclude with the first word of the text, beloved. We are so confident tonight because we are the beloved. John was the beloved disciple of Jesus. All of us are the beloved sons and daughters of God, beloved in Christ Jesus, to whom we belong in body and soul, in life and in death. God loves us with an unchangeable, everlasting love for Jesus' sake. Now, do you think the Father who so loves us would hold out to us tonight a hope and then shame us, disappoint us, not bring that hope to realization? Our Father loves us, beloved for Jesus' sake. Thus, we know that what he promises us is sure. So we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, that we might see thee as thou art. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thou hast given to us the great hope of the gospel that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the scriptures say that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. So, Father, until we see him, keep us and keep our children in the purity that is becoming of thy children. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.